Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. That's a little bit better. The best Father's Day gifts you could have is when you have five kids and they're all together, and then you have a sixth kid, Zach, that jumps in and joins us. So thank you guys for being here. But my name is Brad Rhodes. I'm the pastor of marriage here at Pleasant Valley Community Church. And for those that are single and those that are formerly married, not married anymore, I've got good news for you. I am not preaching on marriage today. You know me, it's a momentous occasion because that's what I usually preach on. But as you're here today, for some of you, Father's Day is just a great day. Just celebrating your kids, celebrating your dad. For others, it's really a hard day. I know it's a hard day for my wife. Mr. Hudson's no longer with us. And Father's Day is it's a reminder, you know, of what you had in your dad. So it's time to celebrate and mourn. And for some, you had dads that loved you really well, and this is a time of celebration. For some of you, you had difficult relationships with your dad, and you weren't loved well, and it's really hard. And some of you've heard, I've shared how well Mr. Hudson, who you just saw on the screen a minute ago, how well he loved Marilyn and how he delighted in Marilyn. But today I'm going to tell you a little bit more of his story that you probably don't know. Mr. Hudson was not delighted in by his dad. He was in a small town in Illinois. And at like age two or three, his dad left. And his dad never came back. Which is hard because we all long for the approval of our dads. And when we don't get it, it's really hard. So at about age five or six, his dad called and said, "Look, I want to take you to St. Louis Cardinals game. It's maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours away." And so he got excited, got a ball glove, went on the front porch, waited for his dad to pick him up, waited, never showed. Didn't ever have a relationship with his dad, lived in the same small town, looked almost alike. And that was tough. But Mr. Hudson, as opposed to living as a victim of a father that didn't love him, he told me, "I decided that I'm going to be everything that my dad was not. And I'm going to identify what I didn't have. And my kids are going to get it in spades." So my wife was an extremely well-loved daughter. She would say that he was the kindest man she has ever met. And that would include me. she would say that. Not true, but it is true. He's kinder than I am. But from 8th grade to 12th grade in school, they went to breakfast almost every single morning at Hardee's. She adored her dad so much that he lifted free weights. Imagine Marilyn Rhodes showing up at a gym in Bowling Green with the professional wrestler Hillbilly Jim. And lifting weights. That's how much he adored her and delighted in her. And guess what? Him adoring and delighting her so much, guess who she wanted to be around the most? Her dad. So today's sermon is just the power of delight. When you really delight in someone, and when someone sees, "Wow, I like you. You are amazing. I like being around you." It has incredible power. But unfortunately, it's just a rare thing for people to live in the delight of God, resting in a relational state, just enjoying and loving people. We get all busy. We get all stressed. We get all worried. We get shingles. True, twice. Not me, Marilyn. But, and then we don't enjoy life. And why don't we enjoy life? Because we don't live in the love and delight of God. So we're going to contrast two funnels today. And I'm going to start with the delight funnel. And the delight funnel is where you experience the light of God. God delights in you. You delight in God. And as a result of being so well loved, so delighted in, guess what people feel when they're around you? The delight, love, peace, and grace of God. So you are an agent of peace. You're an agent of love. You're an agent of delight. You don't stress people out. You bring them to a point of peace. Now we'll do the other funnel. Now, if you're in the performance funnel, or this is the funnel where you feel like you've got to perform for approval, this funnel says you're just not quite enough. You know, you're not all that attractive. You're not all that successful. You really haven't measured up, and you should be more. So you perform for approval. And in this funnel, when you're performing for approval, you feel stress. You feel pressure. You feel frustration. You feel like you're not enough. And guess what? How does that interact with people? That flows down through the funnel, and you're frustrated with your kids. You're frustrated with your spouse, and others get on your every nerve, and they're always falling short. So the question is, do you live where you have the love and delight pouring through you onto others, or the stress and chaos of the world pouring through you onto others? And I know the answer for most of you, because I struggle with this significantly. Unfortunately, there are very few people that just walk around chill in the Sabbath rest of God, not worried about anything, just loving others well. Most of us walk around all stressed out about our own lives, trying to be whatever we're supposed to be, and not truly and richly enjoying others. But today, I pray the Lord uses this to shift all of us from performance, stress, and frustration to, wow, God just loves me. He delights in me. God digs me. God enjoys me. And wow, I enjoy other people. And you know, I'm really messed up. And God still digs me. And all these people I'm around, they're jacked up too. And I dig them. Why? Because we're in the grace of Jesus. So we're going to start with, we are delighted in by God. So the first part of the funnel is that you realize God delights in you. Psalm 18:19, he rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 149:4, for the Lord takes delight in his people. Zephaniah 3:17 tells us God rejoices in us and does it with shouts of joy. Think about it. God rejoices in you and does it with shouts of joy. He looks down at all messed up you that's anxious and struggles with and he sings with shouts of joy over you. And why did God rescue you? Why did God save you? Did he look down and say, man, dude's got a lot of potential. That Caleb Potter, man, he could be something for me. No, he looked down and just said, I'm adopting you as my son. Not because anything you did or don't do or can do or will do. I just love you. I delight in you. And you might ask yourself, what does it really mean to delight? Well, in the Hebrew, there's two words for delight. One is to be inclined towards, and the other is to take pleasure in. And phileo is a Greek word that means a demonstrated natural affection. God has a natural affection for you. God is inclined towards you. He takes pleasure in you. And it's not because of anything you or don't do. And this is hard to believe. Because I think about it. I'm moody. I get grouchy. My gift is not consistency. My gift is not self-control. It always feel like I should be more. And it's so hard for me just to accept the fact I don't have it all together to experience the beautiful pleasure of God. All of us get this feel. Well, if you would get in shape, if you would be a better worker, if you would get your finances in order. No, he delights in you, period. And as you rest in him, he will complete the work in you that he started. And how well you love others will be directly related to how well you believe you're loved. Relational dysfunction and sin can be traced back to the person not really believing your God is good. You can trust him. His ways are right. And if you're on that performance funnel deal trying to perform for approval, the first thing that'll be the casualty is your quiet time and a Sabbath. Because who has time for that with all the stuff I need to do? So my prayer is that God would use this sermon on Father's Day to take the pressure off all of you, that your blood pressure would go down because your trust would go up. And you realize, I can trust my Father. And then Psalm 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am Lord. It's not just keep trying really hard so God will be pleased with you. It says, stop trying and realize how pleased with you he is and watch what he does with that. So first, we're delighted in by God. And second, God, we delight in God. So to experience the delight of God, there's a mutuality of delight. He delights in us, we delight in him. Psalm 37:4 tells us to take delight in the Lord. Psalm 37:23, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Psalm 1, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So what does it look like to delight? Well, think about it. Who do you feel delights in you? Think about right now, who really likes you the most? Who delights in you? When you see them, you can tell this person really likes me and desires me. It's the one who spends time with you. It's the one who texts you. It's the one who reached out to you. It's the one who will stop everything just because they love being with you. And delight in the Lord, it's a willingness to stop everything and just sit at his feet and spend time with him. And it's a discipline that the evil one tries to destroy. Because when you sit down in a quiet time, what do you think? Oh my goodness, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to respond to this. Oh, we've got this and it might rain tomorrow. Well, it's a good thing I've got a phone. I can check it right now. Oh, I haven't responded to this text or that text. And guess what? We don't delight in him. And then we live stressed, busy, overwhelmed lives. And we bring the stress of the world to people, not the peace of God. So, and when we're with the Lord, we're grateful. Because it says in Psalm 111, great are the works of the Lord. They're pondered by all who delight in him. So we're thankful. We obey his commandments. We read and value the word of God. We trust him. Listen to Psalm 147:10. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. He trusts God. It's not if my circumstances get well, other people love me well, and all these things, then I can be okay. No, you can be okay right now just because you're loved by God. He is sufficient and he is absolutely enough. There's a friend of mine that's really kind of inspiration for this sermon because he was the kindest, most gentle, loving man I had ever met. And I've referenced him before because he lived a life that I really hadn't seen. I mean, literally, I was driving to Webster County for court one time, and I was so stressed. You ever just feel stressed where you feel like you're not even breathing real well and just feel just like everything just, ugh. So I called him, and I said, dude, I'm really stressed. Really? Tell me what about? You stopped everything. We talked for 20 minutes, and when I hung up, I remember vividly, I didn't have a care in the world. It was like he imparted the peace of Jesus through the phone into me and taken all my worries away. But guess what? It says, cast our cares on him because he cares for us. It doesn't say heavy burden. It says light burden. It doesn't say hard yoke. It says easy yoke. It doesn't say exhausted soul. It says rested soul. So I was telling somebody about him recently, and the guy was really intrigued. He said, well, tell me more about your friend. And I went on and on. He said, that's really unique. Keep telling him. So finally I told him, well, he spent 24 hours a week, one day a week, he would spend just worshiping, praying, and sitting with God. And my friend goes, oh, now it all makes sense. Now it all makes sense. He's sitting with power, and he's living a life of power. He's sitting in love and delight and stopping everything. As a result, he loves and delights. He's not like you and everybody else who just spends all their lives spinning like crazy trying to get it all done and somehow feel like you succeeded on this in this jacked up world of ours. So, and it's a case for all. I talked to another friend last week. He'd been living really stressed. And I said, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing a lot better. I said, well, what do you attribute you doing better with? He said, well, in the morning before I start my day now, I listen to worship songs and just worship God. And then I just meditate on his word and read on his word and don't think of anything that I'm to do or not do. I just sit with God. And he said, and I feel like I can breathe again. Because we can't love well unless we experience the love of God. Think of a full moon. Okay, full moon will light up the night. Why does a moon light up the night? Because it reflects the light of the sun. What if the moon got really busy and thought, you know, I don't really need the sun. I'm just going to bring light at night. It would be absolutely useless and would send out zero light. Apart from sitting with God, delighting in him and experiencing his love, we're like the moon without the sun. John 15 says, apart from him, we can do nothing. We spend so much time trying to be successful and significant and so little time with our only hope of any significance. It's crazy. This message has been so convicting for me. I spend 99% of my time trying to do all I feel I need to do and regularly tell people, oh, it's so hard to find a quiet time. You know, all Sabbath's so tough. Why? Because I'm relying in me and not him. And I'm delighting in what I can do, not just delighting in who created me. And there's this mutuality of delight. If you look at the slide, it goes back and forth. God delights in us. We delight in God. And everybody we run into benefits. Because now we oftentimes feel like we're failing or succeeding based on what we did or didn't do, not based on who we are in Jesus. If we feel like we're doing everything well, we had a quiet time, we exercised, we ate healthy, I've called each of my loved ones and was a good friend to five people. Ah, I can go to sleep and sleep well. Oh, I overslept. I didn't have a quiet time. Didn't have this. Oh, I'm all stressed. So we either feel like we're succeeding and we're prideful, or we feel like we're failing and we're full of self-pity and, you know, I'm not what I ought to be. But as Ian Thomas said, God, Satan doesn't really care if you feel good of yourself or bad about yourself, as long as you're thinking about yourself. So now take a look at the performance funnel. In the performance funnel, you feel like you have to perform for approval. And in that, you feel stressed. You feel like you've got to succeed. You feel frustration. You feel pressure. And that's what you live under. Then guess what people experience when they're around you? That. So my prayer is that God helps us all slow down, rest in the love of Jesus and love others well. Life speeds us all up. It does. I remember when I was in the law practice, I'd get going, phone calls, emails, court dates, all this stuff. And I'd get going. I had an office manager who was like a combination of law partner, mother, and office manager. She'd walk in, shut the door of my office and look me in the face and say, Brad, slow down and be nice to people. So whenever Dan walked in and shut the door, I thought, uh-oh, I've quit being nice again. But our inclination is toward productivity because we feel like we're significant. I did this. It's why I like weed eating. I can like do it for 3 hours, be miserable. Whoa. I did that. We're inclined toward productivity. Think of Mary and Martha. What did Mary do? Nothing. Just sat at Jesus' feet. What did Martha do? Make sure the potatoes are in the oven 2 hours before this. Make sure this. And what did Martha do? Martha got frustrated at Mary. Jesus, will you please tell Mary to be more like me and do stuff? She said, no, you need to be more like Mary and quit doing stuff. Because she chose the better, you chose the worst. You're busy, stressed, and worried, and stressing everybody out. Mary's chill at my feet and delighting in me and being delighted in by me and living a fruitful life of relationship and love. Performance funnel, you will be Martha. And you will feel stress. You will bring stress. Delight funnel, you will be Mary. You will experience peace and you will bring peace. And don't feel condemned. This is a battle for all of us. And God makes stressed people peaceful. That's the cool thing. Listen to this letter a child actually wrote regarding how God softened her father. It says, at one point, not very long ago, my daddy was a man to fear. Now he is as gentle as a lamb, not to mention just as loving. Watching my daddy change from being a hard man to being tender has influenced me to change. Now, instead of fearing Dad, I can crawl up in his lap and find a cherished place. I love the way he sits with me and helps me with my faults. When I do something good, he notices it. My dad is changing. He's softening. I'm proud of him. I forgive him for being hard and a man to fear. So that leads us to, how can we delight in our kiddos? So in the funnel, you see delight comes from us and to us and then flows down onto our children. Delight is to really like your kids. I've heard it said, whoever's kindest has the most influence. You want to be around people that like you the most. It's just a natural thing. My Aunt B, I have an actual Aunt B. I do. And Aunt B, for some reason, since the time I was little, she really dug me. She did. I mean, it's like when I would see her, oh, Brad, she nicknamed me Precious. That's a little cheesy. To this day, if I called Aunt B right now, put her on speaker, you would hear, hi, Precious. And she would light up. Did I call her? I'm going to see her in a day, and I know she's going to just when she sees me. But I always wanted to be around Aunt B, and why is that? I could tell she really liked me. She accepted me. And it drew me to her. So the best parenting advice I ever got, fortunately, was years and years and years ago. And it was, Brad, delight in your kids. Just enjoy them. I mean, every single kid has significant annoying propensities. Except my five. I'm joking. But we all have good, we all have bad. He said, just delight and enjoy your children. Figure out what they like and just do it with them and just enjoy your kids. I mean, they're beautiful, wonderful kids. Just enjoy them. And I realized I was missing the fun of parenting, trying to be a good parent. If all parenting is trying to make them eat right, make them make good grades, and prepare them to be productive members of society, what a miserable job. But if it is doing those things and just really enjoying the coolest people God could ever give you, it's a great job. And you hear, well, you're their parent, you're not their friend. They are their parent, but you can be their friend too. You can be their parent and really enjoy them. And it just set me free. Now, I've watched Stranger Things, all of it, twice. Except the very final episode we just watched once, right, Abbers? We hang out. We go to games. We do things. I love being around my kids. Why? Because people you spend a lot of time with, guess what? You start wanting to spend a whole lot of time with them. No offense to you guys, but there's, I would rather spend time with each one of those than any of you, except Marilyn. How about that? So it's really important. And one thing this looks like is find their interest and enjoy them in their interests. Gary Chapman, who wrote the book Five Love Languages, which sold like 45 billion copies, he told a story. He said, I had a son who was obsessed with Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly, how many of you know who Buddy Holly is? About half of you. He was a real famous singer. So, but he said, my son was obsessed with Buddy Holly. Would like read books, listen to music. He said, so I went to the library and bought all these books on Buddy Holly, and I read all of them. So my son would say some fact about Buddy Holly, and I'd say, actually, that's not accurate. This is accurate. Well, how do you know that? Well, I read that in this. And he said, we went on a Buddy Holly pilgrimage. We went to where he was born, where he died, his first bar, everything he did. And he said, I got a confession to you. He goes, I don't give a rip about Buddy Holly. He said, I tell you, I am crazy about my son. And his son felt well loved. My kids like Taylor Swift, arguably too much. Actually, take out the word arguably. Believe it or not, I really like Taylor Swift. We're going to a concert on July 1st. I'm dressing up as Jack Antonoff. And I'm excited about it. Andy Norris likes Taylor Swift. The neat thing is you start doing stuff with your kids that they like, you'll find yourself liking them. And you'll find yourself having a really fun time. One daughter said about her dad, a lot of dads spend time with their daughters, but I can tell my dad really wants to spend time with me. Another daughter I talked to said, I could tell my dad preferred me over his friends and included me my entire life. So if you go back to the definition of delight, you're inclined toward your kid. You take pleasure in your kid. How about you? I love it that my kids want to spend time with me. I feel delighted in by them. Kate drove 3 hours. Madeline Zach drove from Bowling Green to be here with me. I like that. I vividly remember when each of my kids have asked me to do things with them. I tell them, I said, piece of advice, ask your dad anything and I'm going to say yes. So if you want to do something with me, say yes. So Kate texted me recently and said, Dad, I have a question. I'm like, well, good. What are we going to go do? I remember when Madeline turned 16, she said, for my 16th birthday, can just you and I go to Kings Island and ride roller coasters? I said, no, but we can go to Cedar Point. Because if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. So, but the thing is, delight is powerful. When they know I want to be with them and I know they want to be with me, it creates an amazing human dynamic. Am I the perfect dad? No. Do I raise my voice sometimes? Yes. Do I lose it sometimes? Yes. Are they the perfect kids? No. But by the grace and delight and love of God, we have amazing relationships with one another. Now, it's important to address here sin. When a kid lives in rebellion, a kid chooses my way. I'm just going to get drunk, do my own thing. It shuts off the delight deal. The parent doesn't have the ability to express the delight he has or she has. The kid doesn't have the ability to experience because they've chosen a different way. Think of the prodigal son. So he says, you know, might be a good idea to take my inheritance early, go get drunk, live a life of immorality, and just have fun. Well, when he did that, do you think he experienced the delight of his father? No. Do you think the father could really express the delight to the kid? No, he was gone. When the kid showed back up, what happened? Boom, that delight that was in there just exploded. I mean, made the older brother mad, slaughtered a calf, had a huge old party. And it wasn't because the son did anything. I mean, all he did was went broke, decided I could get a minimum wage job with dad, the better job I've got. I mean, it wasn't like he turned his life around and had this crazy change. But his dad delighted in him. So when we choose our own way over God's way, we forfeit experiencing the delight of God. We forfeit delighting in God. We forfeit experiencing the delight of one another. So first, delight in your kids. And you also, for those of you married, you delight in your spouse. And delight in your spouse, it looks like your spouse feels adored, unconditionally accepted. I just dig you. You don't need to be any different. I just love you. Like me, you've got your faults, but I don't care. I just love you uniquely. You just show, I want to spend time with you. I desire you. I love talking to you. Going on a date once a week isn't tough. I wish we could do two. And that's, well, life's so busy. I don't have time to do that. Well, come on. It's your spouse. And find time and show you delight in them. Tell other things no to show you delight in your spouse. It's giving them priority. A colleague of mine did this really well. Him and his wife were in my office. None of you know them. They don't go here, and so don't look around and think, I bet it's her. But they're in my office, and she was one of those, like, talkers on steroids. You know, kind of like you say how you're doing, and 15 minutes later, you're hearing about her son's wedding. And I thought, man, she is dominant. She's annoying. And she just kept going on and on. And then finally she stopped. And see, I've got to the restroom, went to the restroom. And her husband looked at me and goes, isn't she amazing? And I thought, not really. But he said, and he told me all her talents. She told me all the difference she makes in society. As they're leaving, he's holding her hand. I thought, man, delights in his wife. And I'm every bit as annoying as she is, just in different ways. But if you can serve, mow the yard, make a bunch of money, have a big retirement, and if you don't delight in your spouse, it doesn't work. Because I don't care if people do everything in the world for you. If they don't feel you really like them and want to be around them, everything is gutted of meaning. And we got to talk about the role of humility. I mean, Psalm 149:4, it says, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. I asked a great Christian counselor, Lauren Early, said, what would you say to dads and husbands on Father's Day? Well, she did such a good job answering, I'm going to read it to you. She said, the first thought that came to my mind was humility and accepting influence. Research has found that humble men who accept influence report greater relational satisfaction. Accepting influence is being open to the ideas and beliefs of your spouse. It's not compliance. It's not giving in. But paradoxically, humble men who accept influence gain influence. Humble men who are learners have an ability to lead. Humility and a willingness to learn will show care and love. You want to be respected. You want to be followed. Humbly accept influence. So one, you delight in your kids, you delight in your spouse, and lastly, you delight in others. Scripture says we're to be the salt and light, right? Grace, peace, love, kindness, relationship. We just go out there and we just give the world that stuff. We love others well. A friend of mine summed up the Christian walk by just saying, you love the person in front of you and you love them really well. Why? Scripture says they will know you by your doctrine. They will know you by your hard work. No, they will know you by your love. That's what's supposed to set us apart. So coworkers, drive-thru workers, neighbors, slow down, get out of the performance trap and love them well. Nobody has ever shown so much interest in me in my life, and I don't know why. And you can at some point tell them, I can tell you why. Because somebody took interest in me. When I was a rebel of God in total rebellion, he died for me and saved me, and I rest and enjoy that delight, and it's there for you. And anything you're getting from me, just an overflow. So I talked to somebody recently who did business with a guy who's a professed Christian. He said, I quit doing business with them. He was so hard, tried to get too good a price, and was pushy. He said, I would rather not have business than have his business. Back to Marilyn's dad, Mr. Hudson. When he died, I went to the guy that worked on Mr. Hudson's boat and told him that Mr. Hudson had died.
He got somber immediately. He said, that dude was the nicest man I've ever met. He said, he was my favorite customer. As believers, we should be favorite customer believers, not best deal believers. A friend of ours is a waitress. She says she doesn't like working Sundays. She said, because you work the hardest and make the least. Boy, that should be the opposite. It should be, I love working Sundays. I make the most, and like everybody's worried about me, and I'm getting phone calls and texts, and I'm just overwhelmed with love on Sundays. Not I'm overwhelmed with demanding Christians who don't tip. So strive to be the favorite customer everywhere you go. The most generous, the most interested, the most loving. You're better off paying more and honoring God than getting a great deal and being disliked. So in conclusion, let's revisit the funnels. You got your performance funnel. You got your delight funnel. Ask yourself which funnel you're in right now. And if you're in the performance funnel, like I've been lately, move out. Make time for God and just love whoever's in front of you and quit being in a hurry and realize none of us are that important that we don't have time to love other people. Because the greatest of these is not finishing your list. The greatest of these is love. And it can be so freeing. For some reason, we all feel like we've got to be somebody. Oh, I got to be significant. I got to be a strong leader. I got to make a big difference in the world. I got to be super successful. I got to have a big retirement. No, you don't. Your clay is the potter. If he wants to make you insignificant, cool. If he wants to make you significant, cool. I think of the Alan Jackson song that says, "It's all right to be little bitty." Anybody know that song? Great song, isn't it? But it says, "It's all right to be little bitty, a little hometown or a big old city. Might as well share, might as well smile. Life goes on for a little bitty while." You're going to blink and you're going to be gone. And the only thing you're going to care about is how well you love those that are closest to you. And all the stuff you stressed about and couldn't sleep about wouldn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Nobody's on their deathbed and say, "Hey, right before I die, could you bring me my bank statement? Could you see how my retirement's performing?" No. "Could you bring me my kids? Could you bring my wife? Could I talk to my best friends?" And those who have lost them or are losing them would give everything they've ever earned for one more month with that person. But unfortunately, they spent their life worrying about that, missing what they could fully experience with that other person. So I'll close by our Father's Day top 10. So I thought of kids that I know who have been really well loved by their dads and just... And I took all the information I got and I distilled it to the 10 recurring themes. He spends a lot of time with me. He tells me he loves me every day. He prefers me and prioritizes me over other people. He always takes my call. When I talk to him, he's never in a hurry. He spends time with me doing what I like. He thinks I'm amazing. I can tell it by just the way he looks at me. I don't feel like I have to perform or do anything for his love. He loves me just like I am. He'll drop anything to fix any problem or issue I have. And he's very interested in everything that is important to me. He's a great listener. That's all Mary stuff. None of that's Martha stuff. Didn't hear, man, Dad did a lot of ministry. Wow, I'm so impressed with Dad's grace marriage. Wow, I'm impressed how successful Dad was. All the stuff he bought me, no. Dad delighted in me. Dad wanted to be around me. Nobody liked me more than my dad. So my prayer for you today is realize the pressure is off. Delight in God. Experience his delight and delight others. Remember, the greatest of these is love. And I fear that we spend 99% of our time not doing the greatest. And if we flipped it, it'd change the world. So now, if our ministry team would come down front, I'd appreciate it. And if you'd like to talk to anybody about accepting Christ as your Savior, or if you've just been encouraged, or if you feel like you're stuck in the performance trap and you want to help somebody out of it, they'll counsel with you and talk with you. But thank you. thank you guys for the privilege of being your pastor. And then I pray that when people come here, they experience a lot of people that know they're delighted in. And when people come in here, they're like, something's different about that place. Let us pray.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.